3. I enjoyed the song. I'm going to live the way that he wants me to live. I'm going to give until I can't give anymore. So some wonderful thoughts there. Today in Proverbs chapter number 3 is going to be a little bit different message than what we would normally have on a Sunday morning. But I think it's something the Lord's laid upon my heart. It's some familiar verses. It's found in verses 5 and 6, talking about trust in the Lord of all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But we're going to look a little bit before, a little bit after that. And the reason why I think God has left that in my mind and my heart today is because sometimes we don't always know what to do. The great thing that you see here, it says that he will direct thy paths. And that should be our desire. That's where we should be heading. We want, hey, God, I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to give, but we need to know what that is. And when we're talking about, sometimes we don't know if we should go right or left or straight ahead. And we have our own knowledge. We have our own abilities. We have our own reasoning. But that's not what the scripture says. There is a way that God can actually, he says, he's given you a promise. I'll direct thy paths. I'll tell you which way to go. And the amazing thing is you go through the Bible, you hear stories, and you see how certain people like Joseph end up as second in charge of Egypt. We would have never went that way. We would never chose that path. David being in charge of Jerusalem and Israel, we would have never gone those ways. We would have not done the things, but God was preparing them and taking them each step of the way. And so here this morning, I just want to look and spend a little bit of time about how to let the Lord direct your paths. We need God's direction. I know I do. And just not only in, things for church, but things for family, things for, everything we do has consequences. Every decision we make has some type of ramification that comes with it. And we need God to be leading us and guiding us. We just don't need to be figuring things out on our own. But instead, in days, especially days like we did today, like the days we live in, most of us would agree that sometimes it can be a very confusing time. It can be a very trying time. And I think we do what God knew what we were supposed to do, but sometimes we want God to direct our paths. Sometimes we ask for that, but it's more than just asking. Let's go ahead and read here. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And I'd like you to take notices in verses 1 through 4, the description that's given here, my son, forget not my law. So it's written to someone who he's saying, look, first of all, I don't want you to forget my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So it's written to someone who knows about God, someone who's has an understanding who God is. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And there's a benefit. There's a promise there. There's a reaction to the first commandment. There's a reaction there. Then he goes, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon thy table of thine heart. And then he says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So you see here, there's another commandment that's given. If you will let not mercy and truth forsake thee, if you'll bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart, guess what's going to happen? Then you're going to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now there's familiar verses here in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then he says, and he shall direct thy paths. So there are some different things that are given there. I think all of us will say, God, I want you to direct me. I want you to lead me. I want you to tell me what it is I'm supposed to do. Well, in verse number 1, it talks about keeping his commandments. In verse number 3, it talks about not forsaking something and also about writing them upon the table of thine own heart. And then you got verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And then verse number 8 is the promise. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse number 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So we see the commandment that's given and then there's a response. And many of the Proverbs are written this way. And the idea that it says, if you'll do this, then God will respond this way. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. God, I know that we all need your leadership. We all need your direction. And in a day and time when we're confused and presented with so many different unusual and interesting options and presented with so many different things that we're not sure which way we should go, we truly need you to direct our paths. Lord, I'm looking for your help today when it comes to the preaching of your word. Lord, I want you to give me the words to say. Some wonderful passages of scripture here, and Lord, some wonderful truths that we need to learn. And Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts, that we walk away today not only trusting in you, but trusting in you with all our heart, and not leaning to what we can reason or what we can understand, but instead we acknowledge you in every area of our life. And Lord, I pray that there's certain things in our lives that will help us and encourage us and just help us to leave this place saying, I need God to direct my paths. I need God's leadership. I need God's help. In Jesus' name, amen. So here, we're going to focus on verses 5 and 6, and we're just going to kind of take them apart this morning and look at some different interesting things. First, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And that first thing I think about is the dependence we should have about God. Trusting in the Lord. So there's a difference between trusting God and trusting in ourselves. I heard one time a story of somebody talking about he was out there soul winning, and he was talking to somebody, and he says, you know, God loves you, and this, and that you need to learn how to trust God. And the response was, I don't need God's love. I love myself. He says, but you have to trust him. He says, I don't need to trust God. I trust myself. And that's a very dangerous thing. Even in the Bible, it says in Proverbs 28, 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And the perfect truth is, if someone is not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the person is trusting in themselves, as what the Bible says, they are a fool. Even in our own lives, when we begin to trust in our own ways and trust in our own selves instead of the Lord, we are acting foolish. So look, think about what it says here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What does it mean, trust? See, one of the things I think people have a difficulty in trusting the Lord is because they don't truly know him well enough. You go to verse number 1, it talks about keeping his commandments. Verse number 3, it talks about writing them upon the table of thine heart. You say, Pastor, I have some trouble, I have some problems trusting him. Obviously, I trust him for my salvation, but I struggle with when it comes to trusting him, when it comes to maybe finances, or struggle to trust him when it comes to relationships, or struggle to trust him when it comes to raising kids. You know, there's I can trust him with certain things and not with other things. We don't know him well enough. If you knew him, if you kept his commandments, if they were written upon the tables of thine heart, you would understand how great God is. And he is a God who loves us. He is a God who knows all things. He is a God that is completely trustworthy. He is someone we can obey. He is someone that we can learn from. He is someone, if we will obey, we'll find out the promises that are found in verse number 2 and the verse number 4 and verse number 6. Another problem is that many times people just don't want to let go of a certain situation. Is that's why we need to trust him more. And so, and I'm thinking we want to do things ourselves. But in order to be successful, we must turn everything over to him. If he's worth part of it, if he's worth trusting for our eternal soul, he's worth all of it. So the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So as you see the dependence that's there. This is a complete dependence upon God. It is a faith in God's word. It's a faith in God's wisdom. It's a faith in God's way. I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart, not just a portion of it. Now, sometimes people like to give God a portion of their heart and they want to leave another portion. He says, no, trust the Lord with all thine heart. That means in every way. And that's where you get your next phrase. He says, not only do you see that it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understandings. Now, this is a deference. This is something that we're deferring to God. And this is saying that we must defer to God's ways. We must defer to God's word. We must defer to God's wisdom. He knows best. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm not going to take it and say, okay, this part I can understand. This part I can take care of. I can't take care of my eternal destiny, but I'm going to, no. We trust in the Lord with all our heart, not just a portion of it, not just with some of it. Not just with the areas that we know we can't handle. But instead, he's saying, look, I don't want you to lean to your own understanding. You know, sometimes what God asks us to do doesn't make sense in our flesh. There are times when God says, I want you to do things that just does not make any sense. To me, when it talks about forgiving someone, no matter what they've done to you, you should forgive them. You know what? To me, sometimes in my flesh, that doesn't make sense. When I see sometimes how the stories work out in the Bible with Abraham getting up and leaving, God says, hey, I want you to go. I'm not going to tell you where I want you to go. I just want you to go. I want you to be faithful. That doesn't make any sense. If we're going to lean to our own understandings, we're going to say, God, I'll go if you tell me where. But that's not what he's saying here. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not just a portion of it. He wants your whole entire being to trust God. It's not just certain areas. It's not just, hey, I'm going to pick and choose what I want God to be in charge of, and I'm going to trust him with these areas of my life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And he says, lean not unto thy own understanding. See, the Bible talks about how our heart is deceitful and how it's desperately wicked. And it talks about how we cannot even know it. God knows what's best, and we need to learn how to defer to him and defer to his word. We need to say, okay, Lord, you know, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't see what you are doing, and I can't always get a glimpse of what you're trying to do in my life, but I'm going to defer to you because you're God, because you know what's best, because I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. If it was me, Lord, I would do it this way, and I would do it this way, and I would make this happen. But Lord, I'm not going to lean to that understanding because it's not about what I can figure out. But Lord, instead, I'm going to trust you with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean unto my own understanding. The third thing, I see the devotion that's here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We see the dependence, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We see the deference. I see the devotion. In all thy ways acknowledge him. It's similar to each are kind of repeating and tying into each other. All thine heart, own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge him. Do we acknowledge him in every way of our life? Obviously, I acknowledge him in my church life. It'd be crazy to come to church and not acknowledge God, right? But some people do. They don't come to church because they want to worship God and they want to praise the Lord and learn about the Bible. They might come to church for numerous number of reasons. I've heard people, I've sat with people. Sometimes it amazes me what some people say, you know, why they come to church. You know, someone made me. I come to see what everybody else is doing. I come to catch up on the latest gossip. You know, it's amazing how the reasoning why some people come to church. But the Bible is saying here, I want you to acknowledge me. Not just in your church life. He says, I want you to acknowledge that I am there and that I am God in every area of your life. In every area of your life, I want you to acknowledge me. And I began thinking about what those different areas are. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Do I acknowledge him when it comes to my finances? I know he's a preacher. Of course, you're a preacher. That's something you're going to... Now, the truth is that... where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. And do I acknowledge him? Finances is something that is part of our life. Our time, our treasure, our talents. Do I acknowledge him when it comes to my marriage? Is that something that I acknowledge? Is God part of my marriage? In my relationships? Am I allowing God to acknowledge God in my relationship? Am I acknowledging God at my work? He's still God while you're at work? Am I acknowledging him when it comes to the way I act with people that are lost? See, if I acknowledge God and acknowledge God's presence and God's power and God's authority in my life when it comes to a lost person, then I'm going to want to tell them about Jesus. If I acknowledge God's power and God's presence and God's authority in my life when it comes to my relationships, then I'm going to want to treat people the way that Christ wants me to treat them. Sometimes it means disciplining my children. Sometimes it means forgiving. Sometimes it means loving my husband. Sometimes it means submitting to my husband. Sometimes it means loving my wife. Sometimes it means, there's all types of different things. But is God even in our thinking when it comes to our school life? I know we have a few teenagers that are out here that go to school. Is God in your thinking when it comes to that? How about with raising your children? Is God, are you acknowledging him in all thy ways? There are so many different areas of our lives that we like to handle on our own. Now, I've done church. I've played my part. I even done my devotions today. And I'm going to lead today. And I'm going to live my life acting like God does not even exist. Now, we would never say that. But how many times do we not even think about him all day? How many times do we react or overreact to something without even acknowledging and even thinking, what would God want me to say? What would God want me to do? How would God want me to react? How would God want me to respond? See, if we want God to direct our paths, if we want God to lead us, he says we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We need to lean on into our own understandings and all thy ways, not just some of them, and all thy ways, acknowledge him. Realize that he is God and that he loves me and he has authority in my life and his presence is here and we live consciously in his presence, but it's not just part of it. When I turn on the TV, am I acknowledging that there is a God that I am serving? When I listen to something on the radio, am I something that I realize that he is there and his purpose and his plan for my life, is that evident and real? It's devotion and all I always acknowledge him. Everything we do, we must consider the Lord and his desires. I know people talk so much about God's plan and God's purpose, and that's important. But our confidence and our trust is not in the plan. Our confidence and our trust is not in his purpose. Our confidence is in God and in him alone. That's where our confidence is. Sometimes we get mixed up in the plan. Sometimes we get the purpose confused. But my confidence and my trust, what I hold to, the thing that I turn to, the thing that I rely upon, the thing that I grab a hold of to, is God and that relationship of his. Now, I want you to see also the compensation. Not just the dependence and the deference and the devotion, but think about the compensation. And he shall direct thy paths. I don't know if it's as you get older, you get a little bit wiser, or you become a little bit more needy, but I know today I need God's direction more than I've ever needed in my life. I know that everything as I grow older and I see all the different things that are going on in our lives and in our world, we need God to tell us what to do. Should we stand and be strong? Should we be willing to show some mercy? Should we be willing to show grace? Should we, you know, how we should say something, how we should react, what we should do? He promises us here. He says that he will direct thy paths. He will actually compensate us for being willing to trust in him and being willing to lean on him and be willing to follow him in all our ways, that he will compensate us with letting us know the will of God for our lives. See, failure to know the will of God is often the result of our failure to do the commands of God. If we would just be faithful, then God says, I will lead you, I will direct you. He says, if you learn how to trust in me, if you learn to acknowledge me, if you learn not to lean unto your own understanding, but lean unto God, then he says, I will direct thy paths. Church, I think that more than anything in this world, we need to learn how to let God lead us and direct us. So often we have come up with our own decisions, we've made our own way, and things have become a stronghold in our life that we think, okay, it's got to be this way. This has got to be the plan. This has got to be the purpose. This is how it has to happen. But we have not trusted in him with all our heart. We have not leaned unto him. Instead, we're leaning into our own understandings, and we haven't acknowledged him in all the different ways. And now I'm coming to the spot where I think this has got to be God's plan. This has got to be God's way. But if we don't trust and we don't lean and we don't be devoted towards it, he's not going to show us. How many of us want to do God's will? I think we probably would say, of course I want to do God's will. How many of us want our kids to do God's will? How many of us want the next generation to make a difference? But we got to learn, hey, I got to trust in him. I can't trust myself. I got to be willing to, in everything, acknowledge him. And then I got to depend on him to direct my paths. Then it goes on. It says in verse number 7, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. It's an easy thing to understand there. This is a command for good character and our attitude and actions. It says, look, let's not be wise in our own wise eyes. Let's be humble when it comes to this. There's humility. This is like the command to lean not onto thy own understanding. It condemns the know-it-all attitudes. It condemns those that reek of arrogance. It's saying, hey, let's humble ourselves and let us not be wise in our own eyes. But then it continues on. It says, fear the Lord. It means honor him, respect him, reverence for God. That's lacking so much. There's no fear of God before our people. And sometimes even in our churches, there's no fear of God. And because of that, we're not humble. Instead, we depart from him. Then it continues on and it says, and depart not from evil, but instead we depart from the Lord sometimes. If we will learn to not be wise in our own eyes and we fear the Lord, we're going to depart from evil. But many times we think we have it figured out. We don't put God or acknowledge God in the situation. And instead of departing from the evil, we're walking right towards it. We're departing from the Lord's plan and the Lord's way. You say, Pastor, how am I supposed to know what the Lord's way is? It says there, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, then it says in verse number 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, I think here it's a metaphor for spiritual health. I think it also has a literal application to physical health. Godly lifestyles do indeed promote better health and better lifestyles. Obviously, all those things combined. And I want to encourage you today, what are we doing in our lives? Say, Pastor, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know which way to do. These are verses to memorize. These are verses to be a part of. These are verses to make part of ourselves. Because God says, if you're willing to do this, then I will do this. He says, if you're willing, in verse number 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep thy commandments. Then he says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. If you know you're doing God's will, there's peace in your heart and life. Verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So if we are willing to do these things, we will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and also man. Verse number 6, he responds by saying, I'll direct thy paths. Verse number 9, he says, I'll give you health. The question is, are we doing these things? Is this versus reality? If we went around the room, I bet you probably at least one person in this room, if not more than one, say, hey, that's my life verse. Do we understand it? Are we truly trusting and depending and leaning on him? Have we been willing to forsake our own understanding and forsake ourselves to be able to give whatever God wants us to give? Are we also willing to acknowledge him in every area of our life? He says he'll direct your paths. This morning, is he leading you or are you leading yourself? I know this morning's message is a little bit shorter, but I'd like to ask you a couple questions. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'd like for you to think about some things for just a few minutes. Before we head to our invitation time, I want to ask this question. It says, are you trusting in the Lord today? Say, Pastor, I am trusting in. First, are you trusting him today when it comes to salvation? Have you ever put your faith and trust in him? So when the Bible talks about for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, it's saying that we're believing in who God is. We're placing our trust in what he has done. We are putting our utter dependence upon not anything we have done, but we're putting our dependence upon what he has done. This morning, if you say, hey, Pastor, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, I know that beyond the shadow of doubt, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and if I died today, I know I would go to heaven. Could you give testimony of that by raising your right hand or left hand, whatever? Okay, thank you, all around the room. Is there somebody who said, hey, Pastor, today I'm not trusting in the Lord for salvation. I've never put my faith and trust in him. Is there anybody here today that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today that I would go to heaven? Is there somebody that would say, hey, Pastor, I'm not sure of that, but I really would like to know more about it? Could you raise your hand, please? Anybody at all? Okay, with heads bowed and eyes closed, the next question. If you trusted him with your soul, are you trusting him with the rest of your life? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. My encouragement to you this morning is, hey, I'm trusting him with my soul, but are you trusting him with your finances? Are you trusting him with your relationships? Are you trusting him with your talents, with your future? This morning, as we consider these things, is there something in your heart that you have not been trusting him with that you'd like to say, hey, I need to trust him better in this? And once again, it's the Holy Spirit of God that's hopefully pointing something out to your heart and your mind and your life today. But let God do a work and ask, Lord, is there something in my life, in my heart, that I'm not trusting in you today with? Is there something today that I need to become dependent upon you? I know I can't get to heaven on my own. I'm depending completely and totally on you. Is there something in this world that I'm not depending on completely and totally with you, with all my heart? And if there is something God brings to your mind, then talk to him about it. Repent of that and give it over to him. The next thing is, I'd like to ask the next thought is, are you acknowledging God in all your ways? Consider the thoughts of your life, the different ways of your life, the way at work, the way at home, the way at church, the way inside your relationships. Is God a part and a present? Do I recognize God's authority and God's love and God's plan in every area of my life? I acknowledge it. Is there a spot in our life that we just want to keep to ourselves? Maybe it's entertainment. Maybe it's whatever it is. Maybe God's speaking to your heart this morning about acknowledging him in this certain area. And once again, if he's speaking to your heart, respond to it. Respond by saying, Lord, I want to begin now to acknowledge this. And last but not least, I want you to give thought about how much we need him to direct our paths. Joseph would never have made it to second in charge of Egypt without God. I don't think David would ever made it to the throne without God's direction. You will never make it to where God wants you to be without his direction. Let's give a few moments to him and say, Lord, I know I need you. Lord, I need you to direct my paths. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for time invitation.